Welcome and thanks for listening. This is your Nebraska Judicial Branch.
Welcome back. Joining us again today is Kelly Riley, the Director of the Office of Dispute Resolution. On our last episode, Kelly talked about two facets of her office. She talked about mediation and the Parenting Act. Today, we're going to talk about a third yet equally as important facet of the Office of Dispute Resolution, which is restorative justice. Kelly, first off, thank you for coming back today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's just jump right in. Can you maybe start by just telling us what restorative justice is?
Yes. So restorative justice, sometimes it can be a little bit harder to define than mediation, but the best way that I have found is to really talk about the three different components of restorative justice, because they're very important. The first one is restorative justice involves victim needs. So it's an opportunity for victims to have a voice, to be a part of the process, and to get questions answered. So get some information. The other piece is offender accountability. So the offender really has to be willing to take responsibility for their actions and also work toward how do I make it right. And then the other part is stakeholder engagement. So getting everybody to work together. So that's the victim, that's the offender, and there could be also community members or others that have been involved that can be part of that as well. And then really working together to understand what happened, why it happened, what was the impact, and how do we move forward from here?
When you say offender, you're talking about in a broader sense too, right? In some way that somebody wronged somebody else?
Correct. So it's somebody has done a harm to somebody else. And so okay. Exactly, that is what offender. And so we try not to use that label as much, but sometimes it's just easier to grasp what does that mean. So it's somebody who's caused an offense.
Exactly. Okay, thank you. So how exactly does the Office of Dispute Resolution apply or provide restorative justice services?
So just like what we talked about in the last podcast, the Office of Dispute Resolution works with the six centers that are located across the state, and they provide the service. So ODR itself does not provide the service. It's the centers that do. Very specifically, so restorative justice sort of encompasses a lot of things. And with the six centers, we actually have an initiative for a very specific process. And so they offer what is called victim youth conferencing. So we are specifically, or the centers, I should say, are specifically working with youth who have created a harm or done a harm to somebody and bringing those people together to talk through the process.
Kelly, there's a lot of types of offenses out there that are viewed as victimless crimes. Is there really such thing as a victimless?
There isn't, because there's always somebody who has an impact. So youth sometimes can, maybe they vandalize a house, but they don't know the people in it. So again, it's a property. They might steal a bike or even steal from a store. And so for that, you think, especially when you think of one of the big box stores, it's like, well, I'm not hurting a person. But really, there are people involved, and we've had cases where the loss prevention manager from that box store has come in and talked to the youth to really explain why it's not a victimless crime. And it can be very eye-opening for those youth.
Substance use, substance yes. delivery, like alcohol, drug stuff is also one of those types of experiences where everybody thinks there's no victims to that, when in fact the victims are wide-ranging, such as parents and families and communities and the damage that causes across the board.
Very much so. You are right on point.
So what are misconceptions about restorative justice?
So yes, there is a misconception about restorative justice in that it is an easy out. So I'd like you to think back to a time where you've done something wrong, and what is harder to deal with? So if you get a consequence, or if you had to actually face the person who you've hurt and say that you're sorry and really acknowledge that you did hurt somebody. And so what we have found is that with restorative justice and having to sit down and face the person that you hurt And there are cases, we've had one where there's a youth that he had five victims in front of him, homeowners and business owners, and he had to tell each of them that, yes, I did this, I'm sorry, had to have that conversation, and then work with them to figure out how can I make it right. And that was not easy for the youth, but he did it.
Is everyone appropriate for inclusion or participation in restorative justice?
Definitely not. So one of the things that the centers always do when they receive a referral is there's an assessment that has to happen. And so, again, if a youth is not willing to take responsibility for their actions, then it's not appropriate. And also, just like mediation, it's voluntary. So even though the youth has been referred, they have the option to say, no, this isn't something I want to go through. And we do have legislation in Nebraska around restorative justice. And so restorative justice, like mediation, is confidential. And so if they choose not to participate or they're ruled out of participating, that can't come back to hurt them. So they're protected from that.
So ODR's facilitation of restorative justice is only a few years old at this point. Have there been any surprises so far?
There have been. One of the really neat experiences that have come from this is we have had youth who go through the process, and there was such a positive impact on that youth that they wanted to give back. So now they have grown, and they act as a surrogate. And that's something we haven't talked about yet. So with restorative justice, I talked about the victims being able to have a voice. But sometimes victims don't want to participate for whatever reason, and that's okay. And when that happens, we bring in a victim surrogate. So somebody who can not speak for the victim, but can speak to being a victim, and hopefully in sort of the same type of offense that happened. And so these youth that have gone through the process and now serve as a surrogate, it's really rewarding to see that.
So, Kelly, ODR facilitates primarily restorative justice through a youth lens, right?
Correct.
Are you aware of any adult similar program going on across the branch anywhere?
Yes, actually, we have just started conversations with adult probation to explore what might that look like, because the legislation that I talked about before does include adult restorative justice. The focus right now has been on youth because we have a grant, but because of the positive results that we've seen, we do definitely want to expand to the adult side.
And I think the research is pretty clear that it is equally as effective with adults and juveniles, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so as we get ready to wrap up, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you if you had a particularly poignant example of just how restorative justice works. Is there anything that you can point to where both maybe the quote-unquote offender and the victim both walked away from the experience thinking, that was it, that was the way to go, I feel so much better now?
Yes, yeah, so there was a case, and it was in a small town. It works well in both large towns and small towns, but in this particular case, the youth sat down with a store owner. And during their conversations, the store owner obviously said how it impacted himself, but also was able to share about his history. And this youth was very surprised to know that this well-respected business owner had some difficulties in their youth. And so it was one of those things that, yes, I've made a mistake, but I know that doesn't define me. And also, the store owner, he knew that the youth was very sincere in his regret for his actions. And especially in a small town community where everybody knows everybody, it gave that youth another connection as well as the store owner. So it, yeah, that's one that sort of sticks out in my head.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
So mediation, parenting act, restorative justice, big topics with a big impact. Thank you again, Kelly Riley, Director of the Office of Dispute Resolution, for coming in and joining us.
Have a great day.
You've been listening to my interview with Kelly Riley, the Director of the Office of Dispute Resolution. ODR is yet another example of the wide-ranging services offered by your Nebraska Judicial Branch.